Life Talk Radio presents Health and Longevity, the program dedicated to bringing you cutting-edge information and interviews that can change your life. On each edition, nutritionist, registered dietitian, and board-certified anti-aging health practitioner, Dr. John Westerdahl, will show you how to achieve a longer, healthier life using the latest breakthroughs in nutrition, wellness, and lifestyle medicine. And now, here's your host, Dr. John Westerdahl.
Welcome to Health and Longevity. I'm Dr. John Westerdahl. On today's program, we will feature a classic lecture on food chemistry in its relationship to body chemistry, presented by Dr. J.M. Hoffman, who was recognized as a leading authority on nutrition and longevity. We will have Dr. Hoffman's lecture after this short break.
Would you like to live a happier, healthier, and longer fulfilled life? Then visit us at healthandlongevityradio.com. That's one word, healthandlongevityradio.com. There you'll find valuable information and resources that can help you achieve optimal health and give you the secrets to longevity. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com. It could change your life.
And now, Health and Longevity's special feature on vital topics important to your health and longevity.
And now we will present the lecture, Food Chemistry in Its Relationship to Body Chemistry, presented by Dr. J.M. Hoffman.
The topic of my lecture for tonight is Food Chemistry in Its Relationship to Body Chemistry. Oh, you're going to get another shock tonight. No doubt about it. Listen carefully. Now let's talk about tannic acid. Tea, coffee, and cocoa contain tannic acid, which is a drug and should not be used. It affects the mucous membranes of the digestive tract and especially the stomach. Now, do you know where the word tanning leather comes from? It comes from the word tannic acid, which is used to tan leather. And you don't want it to tan your stomach, that's for sure. So you eliminate all anything that has tannic acid in it. What are they? Tea, coffee, and cocoa. All contain tannic acid. So you don't want any of those items. Tea, coffee, or cocoa. Now let's talk about oxalic acid. Oxalic acid is found where? Beet greens, spinach, Swiss chard, rhubarb, stems, cocoa, sorrel, black pepper, and tea contain oxalic acid, which the body cannot metabolize. Now, let's go over that list. Beets are okay. You can have the beet to eat, but not the greens, because the greens have oxalic acid. Spinach is only good for Popeye and not for you. And Swiss chard, if you have any Swiss chard or rhubarb or spinach growing in your garden, get a shovel and dig it up and throw it away. But oxalic acid is also found in rhubarb. Now, that's the stems, not the leaves. The leaves would be at the head of the list. And also the pokeweed, which many people eat, especially in Florida, northern Florida and Georgia. That's no good. It's very high in oxalic acid. You'll see that in my book. And cocoa has oxalic acid. You know, cocoa has more bad items in it than even tea and coffee, as far as I'm concerned, because it not only has tannic acid, but it also has oxalic acid. And in sorrel is sourgrass. And pepper and tea all contain oxalic acid, which the body cannot metabolize. You say, well, Dr. Hoffman, the body doesn't metabolize it. How does it get rid of it? All right, let's explain it. When you eat oxalic acid foods, the body cannot metabolize them. So what happens is, the body has to give up some of its calcium to unite with oxalic acid. and it forms tiny minute crystals which are called calcium oxalate. Now, your kidney stones are made up mostly of calcium oxalate. If your kidneys are healthy and you don't have too much calcium oxalate, it'll get rid of it. But if you eat too much of it and the kidneys can't get rid of it, it'll form kidney stones. If your kidneys are weak, it can cause kidney stones. Now, if you eat food that is high in cholesterol and you're eating oxalic acid foods, now you can develop gallstones. For instance, eggs are high in cholesterol. Many of your fats are high in cholesterol. So what happens? Let me tell you a story. I was in Fort Pierce, Florida, holding a seminar in one of the high schools that the church had rented. And in this seminar, that night, I was talking on this subject. And when I mentioned the cholesterol and oxalic acid forming crystals, and if you had lots of cholesterol along with the calcium oxalate, you could develop gallstones. And the lady was sitting alongside of Lois Bailey, in whose home we were staying, and she nudged her with her elbow and her ribs, and she said, "That's me." The next night, I was in the rear of the auditorium, and a lady walks up to me with a vial about 3 inches high and about an inch in diameter, and she said to me, "Dr. Hoffman, do you know what these are?" I said, "Sure." I said, "They're gallstones." I says, "Were you sitting next to Lois Bailey last night?" She said, "Yes." I says, "Are you the lady that was on a spinach and egg diet?" She said, "Yes." Now, she had been put on a spinach and egg diet. And one day, she had a gallbladder attack. And they rushed her to the hospital and they x-rayed her. And they found that her gallbladder was filled with gallstones. So they operated on her and removed the gallbladder and the gallstones. Now, you folks that love your spinach, put it where? In a garbage pail. That's right. That's where it belongs. And if you have any of it growing, like spinach, Swiss chard, and rhubarb, dig it up and throw it away. All right, now, soda and baking powder. Taken from Ministry of Healings, page 300 and 301. Quote, "The use of soda and baking powder in bread making is harmful and unnecessary. Soda causes inflammation of the stomach and often poisons the entire system. Many housewives think that they cannot make good bread without soda, but this is an error. If they would take the trouble to learn better methods, their bread would be more wholesome and to a natural taste. It would be more palatable." End of quotation. So soda causes inflammation of the stomach and often poisons the entire system. So if you're using baking soda to do baking, please remember this is absolutely no good for your stomach or for your entire bloodstream. You don't want it. Don't use it. Get rid of it. You say, "Well, how am I going to make my cake?" In my wife's cookbook, it tells you how to make it without any soda or baking powder. Now, I want you to notice something. Dr. H.W. Wiley, former chief chemist of the United States Department of Agriculture, writing in the Good Housekeeping magazine, and Dr. Wiley was the first one to head up the Food and Drug Administration, as we call it today. And I want you to notice what Dr. Wiley says. Quote, "All baking powders leave residues in the food. The alum baking powders leave a residue consisting of Glauber salts, sulfate of soda, and aluminum hydrate. The cream of tartar baking powders leave a residue of tartrate of soda and potash, Rochelle salts. The phosphoric baking powders leave a residue of phosphate of lime and soda. So all of your baking powders leave a residue of what? Soda. 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 You don't want any baking powders. You don't need them. Put them in the garbage pail. That's where they belong. You don't want to poison your system with baking powder or soda. And all baking powders leave a residue of soda. You say, well, Dr. Hoffman, I understand that there is a health baking powder you can buy in the health food store. Well, I've been in health food stores, and I always ask to see their baking powder, and I've never yet saw one in any store that was anything worthwhile except to put it in the garbage pail. There is no such thing as a health baking powder. It does not exist. So don't use any baking powder or baking soda. All baking powders leave a residue of what? Soda. All right, now notice this, destruction of vitamins. From the bulletin of the Indiana State Board of Health, we read, quote, another disease called pellagra frequently ends in insanity and death, is also produced by eating devitamined foods. It is found that soda kills vitamins. Therefore, we must not put soda in our foods. Biscuits made light with bicarbonate of soda, and which always have a soda taste, are very unwholesome. Cooks should not use bicarbonate of soda in cooking dried peas, dried corn, dried beans, and the like, even if it does shorten the process. End of quotation. So, what does soda do? Kills vitamins. And if you want good health, you don't want to eat something that's going to kill the vitamins in your body. Therefore, do not use baking powder or baking soda. And it makes no difference where you buy it. There's no such thing as a health baking powder. It does not exist. So stay away from baking powders and baking soda and learn to bake without them. And you can make delicious cakes and other pastries without baking powder or baking soda. You'll find the recipes in my wife's cookbook. Now notice this. Sodium. What is sodium? It's sodium chloride, isn't it? Salt. Now, they use salt in the processing in the factories. So anything that you buy that's canned or that's in a jar has already had its salt in it. When Mama cooks in the kitchen, she also puts in the preparation of the food salt. Therefore, Papa should not use it at the table. Now, you ladies who don't measure your salt, please stop it. Start measuring your salt. Too much salt is poisonous to the body, and salt shakers should never be on the table. Mama puts enough salt in there so you don't have to have any put in after the food is cooked. And don't pour your salt. Learn to measure it. Uh-huh, there he is. That's Papa. You notice he hasn't picked up the fork yet, but he's putting the salt on before he even tastes it. Have you ever seen people do that? Oh, sure you have. You know what I say to people when I see them putting salt on their food before they taste it? I say, whoa, wait a minute. Maybe there's too much salt in it already. Why don't you taste it first? Too much salt is poisonous to your body. A little salt to season the food is perfectly all right, but too much of it is very detrimental to your health. It causes high blood pressure. It is also bad on your kidneys, and it's bad on your heart. So you don't want it. So I'm here to tell you, friends, you don't want salt on your food. No salt shaker should be on the table. Whatever mama puts in, that's enough. Whatever is put in, whether you're buying something in a can or in a jar, that's enough. You don't need it at the table. You should not have it. When a patient is sent to a geriatric institution, one of the things that the doctor will do, first thing, he writes on the orders, no salt. All geriatric patients are taken off of salt because salt plays havoc with the blood pressure and the heart and also your kidneys. So when you're at somebody's home and they offer you the salt shaker, put up your hand and say, no, thank you. I think there's enough salt in the food. Now, the book Temperance, page 57. Food prepared with condiments and spices inflames the stomach, corrupts the blood, and paves the way for stronger stimulants. It induces nervous debility, impatience, and lack of self-control. End of quotation. So as far as condiments and spices are concerned, they inflame the stomach and corrupt the blood. You say, how does it corrupt the blood? It makes the blood feverish, and you don't want it. Now, the saloon keepers used to put on the table mustard, black pepper, chow chow, all kinds of spices, pickles, pepper sauce, chili sauce, red pepper, hot shire sauce, and horseradish. Why were those stimulants put on the table? Because the more they used it, the more they wanted to drink. So he'd sell a lot more of his alcoholic beverages. These things are very detrimental to your health. They do make the blood feverish. They are bad on your stomach, bad on your kidneys, bad on your liver. You don't want any spices or condiments which are hot when they are cold. Now, if you want to know whether anything is all right to eat, put it on your tongue, then swallow a little bit. If it's hot, you know it's not for you. You don't want it, don't use it, put it in the garbage pail. That's where it belongs. All these things are fiery hot, and you don't want any of them. Now, let's talk about coffee. I know many of you people here are saying, well, Dr. Hoffman, I don't use regular coffee. I use decaffeinated coffee. Well, the first night I talked about coffee, I told you that decaffeinated coffee, because of the chemical that they use, which is considered a carcinogen for taking out the caffeine, is very detrimental to your health. Furthermore, they do permit 3% of the caffeine to remain in it anyhow. So decaffeinated coffee still has the caffeol in it. Caffeol is the oil that gives the aroma and the flavor to coffee. This is not removed. But caffeol is a carcinogen. It irritates the stomach. It irritates the liver, it irritates the kidneys, and it irritates the bladder, and in many cases causes cancer of the bladder. When they take out the caffeine, caffeol is more concentrated. So when you drink caffeinated coffee, you're drinking something that's worse than regular coffee, because it has in it a more concentrated caffeol, which is a carcinogen. So you people that are drinking decaffeinated coffee and you thought you were doing something wonderful, please take my advice when you go home tonight and put it in the garbage pail, for that's where it belongs. Didn't know that. Told you were going to be shocked tonight. You thought it was perfectly all right to drink decaffeinated coffee. And in my estimation, it's worse than regular coffee. So if you have any coffee pots at home that have coffee in, when you go in tonight, empty them out and get rid of it and put it down the sink. Get rid of it. You know, during the horse and buggy days, a man bought a horse at an auction. The next day, he hooked him up to the buggy, and here he had his head down. When he bought him, his head was way up. So he took him to the veterinarian, and he said to the veterinarian, "What's wrong with my horse?" He said, "Where did you get him? Where'd you buy him?" He says, "I bought him at the auction yesterday." Oh, he said, "That answers it." He says, "Now I'll tell you what was wrong with the horse." He says, "His head was up high. And the reason why his head was up high, he was injected with caffeine. So his head was up high." He says, "Now he's in his natural condition." Now let's talk about you people that drink colas and coffee and tea and cocoa. You say it gives you a lift. Maybe it does give you a lift, like it lifted the horse's head up. But in his normal condition, the head was down, right? In other words, you forced your body to an unnatural action. You force it to do what it doesn't have strength to do. And all that you're doing is forcing your way to an early grave. Think that one over. Tea, like coffee, is no good for you. It's a poison, and it doesn't belong in your stomach. Now, notice this. Poisons in coffee and tea. We might just as well say cocoa, too. Coffee contains poisons, caffeine and caffeol. That's what I was telling you about, the decaffeinated coffee. It's more concentrated. And tea contains caffeine and tannic acid. Cocoa contains theobromine, which is a twin sister of caffeine, and tannic acid. One physician said, "We are a nation of tea and coffee drunkards." You know who that was? That was Dr. Wiley who said that. First man to head up what we now know as the Food and Drug Administration. Dr. W.W. Bauer, Director of Health Education Emeritus of the American Medical Association, said this: "Tea, contrary to common belief, has about as much caffeine as coffee, and so has the same stimulating effect on the brain and kidneys." End of quotation. So we don't want any stimulants that are going to shorten our lives and cause ill health. In the book Temperance, page 76, I read this: "Tea gradually impairs the energy of the body and mind. It stimulates, excites, and quickens the motion of the living machinery, forcing it to unnatural action. Tea draws upon the strength of the nerves. Tea is poisonous to the system." End of quotation. Now let me paraphrase it for you. Coffee, colas, and many sodas, cocoa, and tea gradually impairs the energy of the body and mind. They stimulate, excite, and quicken the motion of the living machinery, forcing it to unnatural action. They draw upon the strength of the nerves. They poison the system. That's the way it is. So you notice what they do? They force the living machinery, forcing it to what? Unnatural action. You don't have the strength to do it, so you'll take a poison to pep you up and shorten your life to give you a little more pep. Does that make sense? No, you say, "Dr. Hoffman, that's crazy." That's what it is. Anybody in their right minds will never have any of these things in their home again. You'll throw them in the garbage pail if you're enjoying life, or if you want to enjoy life. Get rid of these things. They're no good for you. Now, let me show you something. The analysis of several kinds of tea shows that average tea contains 3.6% caffeine. That means that 1 pound of tea contains 252 grains of caffeine. According to Bulletin No. 148, United States Department of Agriculture, It takes 1/10 of a grain to kill a mouse. Therefore, there's enough poison in 1 pound of tea to kill 2,520 mice. It takes from 5 1/2 to 6 grains of caffeine to kill a rabbit. Therefore, there's enough poison in 1 pound of tea to kill 45 rabbits. It takes 6 grains to kill a cat. Therefore, there's enough poison in 1 pound of tea to kill 45 cats, even if it does have 9 lives. Cocoa and chocolate contain theobromine, which is a twin sister of caffeine. Now, get carob. Now, the carob powder, some of it comes with sugar and some is without sugar. If you want coffee, go to the health food store. They have many coffee substitutes. And you take a little can of each one and try them out, see which one you like. One is called Pero, one is called Pioneer, one's called Cafag. They're different names, but you can try a little can of each so you see which one you like the best. However, I'm going to tell you how to brew your own drink that tastes just like coffee and people can't tell the difference. Here it is. Go to the health food store and buy a pound package of roasted barley. Then go to the supermarket and get 1/4 pound of chicory. Mix the two together and percolate them. Then drink that drink and you'd swear it was real coffee. Something to think about, isn't it? All right, so we don't need any of these bad beverages when we can get the good ones.
To learn more about the books written by our guests and books written or recommended by Dr. Westerdahl in this program, please visit our website at healthandlongevityradio.com. There you can learn how to obtain your copy of these valuable and informative books. Search each page for yourself and see how you can live a happier, healthier, and longer life. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com.
That's all for this week's program. Until next time, this is Dr. John Westerdahl wishing you the best of health.
This has been Health and Longevity with Dr. John Westerdahl, a production of Life Talk Radio. Join us again next week on the same station and time for Health and Longevity. The preceding information on this program has been general information about your health and is not to be taken as professional medical advice, nor is it intended to serve as a substitute for medical attention. Do not change your diet or exercise habits without guidance from your medical doctor, especially if you have health problems or are on medication. Do not change your medications without the advice and supervision of your medical doctor. If you have a medical condition, we encourage you to seek the consultation of a medical doctor experienced in dietary change and lifestyle medicine. And as always, we wish you the best of health.